Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate, here with Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities, and along with our guest, Pat Rector, Outreach and Education Coordinator at the Occupational Health Clinical Center. We're talking about that intersection of immigration, undocumented immigrants, perhaps, and healthcare. And Dr. Eastwood, as we took a break, we were talking about experiences in the emergency room and EMTALA, the law that says people need to be treated. And where we were going with that is moving into this realm of money. And when somebody is here, how does it get paid for when they have healthcare needs? Because, you know, I have to think that immigration wouldn't be the same question it is if it wasn't for money. Pat, would you agree with that?
Yes, largely.
If money were no object, mostly we wouldn't have so much of a conversation. Dr. Eastwood, you can tell us about experiences in other parts of the country where there have been undocumented immigrants who have needed health care, and they've actually ended up in a political structure where, what, they got sent back home.
Well, I think the best-known case, and it's used by both sides of this, people on both sides of this argument to say, what an awful thing this is that illegal immigrants come here, and what an awful thing we're doing when they do come here, both sides of this. Luis Jimenez came from Guatemala in the late 1990s. He paid a smuggler to get him here. He ended up in the middle of Florida. In 2000, he was hit by a drunk driver as he was crossing a street. No fault of Jimenez.
Nothing he did.
Nothing. And he was severely injured. He was taken to the hospital. It happened to be Martin Memorial Hospital in Stuart, Florida. He was there under their care for about 3 years. The bills mounted.
3 years.
So the bills mounted. He was in a stable condition. They wanted to discharge him, but no place would take him because he had no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So they arranged to fly him back to Guatemala. They made arrangements with one of the hospitals in Guatemala, and literally in the dead of night, a private plane flew Mr. Jimenez back. That was in 2003.
Okay.
Mr. Jimenez's cousin was his guardian.
Here
in the United States. In Florida, and he entered suit, and it took 6 years to resolve that suit. He said it was a wrongful thing, and at the end of July, the court found in favor of the hospital. They said they were justified in doing this. New York Times has followed up on this and found Mr. Jimenez still living in a wheelchair in his mother's house up in the hills, a long way from medical care, but he's I wouldn't say he's doing fine, but that's where he is. So this is a very dramatic example of basically sending people back where they came from. And the listeners may also remember a letter to the editor in the Post Standard on September 1, this past year, 2009. The editorial title was, Why Not Nab Illegals When They Seek Care? And the author of this letter went on to say, when they come into the emergency room for whatever reasons, nab these people and send them home. And much to my gratification, 2 days later, four other people wrote back and said, this was awful. That's not what emergency rooms are for. So
Pat,
there's a lot of interest here about this issue.
Pat, I have to think that you would probably deal with the reality. People believe that if they seek care, they will get sent home. And you probably have to deal with just the fear, even if it's not a reality.
Well, absolutely. Fear is what drives many lives here. And so, yes, there certainly is a concern and a reluctance to seek medical care because of the fear of deportation.
And you know, too, Dr. Eastwood, I have to think that here we're talking about a man who was hit by a car. Pat, you're dealing with workers who get hurt, and then whatever their injury is needs to be dealt with, and perhaps they end up working again or they end up moving on to do something else. But what about somebody who develops a chronic disease? What if someone is here undocumented, doesn't have insurance, and they develop cancer or diabetes? What happens then?
Yeah, we've been focusing on emergency care, but of course there's care beyond emergency care, and it can be chronic disease. It can be the need for chronic renal dialysis. It can be acute disease, the need for surgery, which is not cheap. So it's a huge economic issue.
It is a huge economic issue. Then we run into things that are more about public health. We have public health issues that we're dealing with because I imagine whether you're documented or undocumented, you might be a smoker.
That's correct.
You might have, as I said, diabetes, which leads to obesity, which leads to other problems. I mean, what are some of the other problems that you run into health-wise, Pat?
Well, sometimes a treatment for some of the simplest diseases or cuts, bruises, even the crushing of a hip, or a lot of musculoskeletal injury from work bending and lifting. Farming generally is very
It's dangerous.
Dangerous work.
It is dangerous work. And then what happens to these folks? Say somebody crushes a leg. What happens to him or her?
Well, sometimes people seem to understand that that the responsible thing is to take that person to an emergency room when that's possible. But care for some of the chronic diseases is much more elusive. While there are some migrant healthcare clinics in our region that do a wonderful and humanitarian job in providing basic care, there are huge challenges because poverty is certainly an issue.
Well, I noticed that within the same sentence you used the term humanitarian, which takes us to the ethical part of the question, and then you took us to poverty. And the poverty is a bigger part of the question as far as healthcare reform is concerned right now. Dr. Eastwood, you had some figures on the number of immigrants, undocumented immigrants, who actually have health insurance.
Yeah. Before I answer that question, something occurred to me in the previous dialogue. Not all illness is just a concern for the person ill. Let's take tuberculosis or HIV/AIDS or a lot of communicable diseases.
Yes.
And so it's our concern, too, when other people get sick. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, it's hard to estimate the number of undocumented people in the United States because, of course, that's the nature of being here. But there are estimates, and it's about maybe 6 or 7 million right now, 5 to 7 million, let's say. And now about 38% of them are estimated to have health insurance, but that's not the issue. It's the other people who don't have health insurance and who are not making very much money that we've been talking about and are the issue.
Absolutely. And then the next part of the issue is for the remaining 62%, if I'm doing my math correctly, for that remaining 62%, when they do need care, who's paying for it? Yeah. And who's paying for it? The answer is the taxpayer. And so we introduce health care reform. Is immigration really a serious part of the conversation in health care reform right now?
I think to try to re-enter that issue into the health care reform debate would be death to the debate. So it's not part of it right now. It's
and that's been a debunked. Political question.
It's a political issue. Doesn't mean it's not important. It's very important, but it's something I think that's going to have to be resolved later.
Later
right
on.
Now.
There are so many things being discussed right now, and we don't have resolution on health care reform. And even when we do have resolution, it's going to be a number of years before it's implemented. But where should we go with this? Let's look at it from an ethical point of view, and let's look at it from a money point of view. Ethically, Pat, this is the world you deal in. Where would you see it, ideally?
Well, what I would say is that for us to be responsible ethically, we as a society need to be able to look deeper into the questions that relate to what is driving human migration in our world.
That's a big picture.
It is a very big picture. Some of the reasons for immigration, for example, have to do with the conduct of our foreign policy, with the decisions made by multinational corporations, with decisions made that relate to environmental issues that cause massive numbers of people to be driven from their homes.
And when you say driven from their homes, they're ending up in different places all over the world.
That's correct.
And they're coming here, and there seems to me a little bit of a paradox when we shift to the money part of the conversation, that now if we pass health care reform and we make everyone eligible for getting insurance, will that only exacerbate the problem? What do you think, Dr. Eastwood?
Well, it depends upon which problem we're addressing. I think it'll make it even more desirable, perhaps, for people to try to come here in an undocumented fashion and then maybe leverage that to become legal, a legal residence, and so on. But, you know, let me go back to the ethical issue here. You know, the as physicians and healthcare workers, we're obligated to, regardless of what EMTALA says, to take care of people who are sick.
Right.
Now, that comes smack up against the financial issues here. And I don't know how to resolve them, but I do know that the healthcare system is not the place to resolve that. It's somewhere else. It's in our political system, not the healthcare system.
And you know what? That's a great point, and we have run out of time. This has been a fascinating conversation. I think we could go on for weeks and weeks with this one. Pat Rector, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You brought a great dimension to the conversation we wouldn't have had otherwise. Dr. Eastwood, always good to see you. Appreciate your coming by to talk about difficult decisions in healthcare, and this is a big one.
See you next month.
Thank you so much. And listeners, we will be back in just a few moments. This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.